Last night in his State of the Union address, President Obama brought up once again income inequality, the growing gap between rich and poor American families. What about the income gap within families, the sibling income gap? Psychotherapist Jana Malamud-Smith was quoted in the New York Times saying in 35 years of practice, she'd never seen so many siblings troubled by the difference between their lives and their siblings' lives because of income, even when the wealthier siblings helped out. Dalton Conley, sociologist and professor at New York University, wrote the book on this. Literally, it's called The Pecking Order, A Bold New Look at How Family and Society Determine Who We Become. It was published back in 2004 and considered groundbreaking then. Dalton Conley joins us now from the NPR studios in New York. And professor, so you wrote this back in 2004. Are you hearing more now about inequity between and among siblings?
I am. I mean, ever since 2004, inequality, with a brief blip after 2008, has been rising. Part of that is going to rear its head within families as well as across families. So you're going to get more sibling inequality. And it's kind of a two-edged sword. You don't want it to be all between families so that we live in a caste society. But there's a cost to it being within families. That means more mobility, that which family you come from means less in terms of where you end up on this really wide ladder. On the other hand, it tears families apart and creates the resentments that you were talking about.
You've said one of the piercing effects of sibling inequity is that if it's someone outside your family who is super successful, you can always assign that success to an inheritance, for instance. But when it's within families, it's a little harder to grasp why one sibling is doing better than the other.
Exactly. It doesn't really begrudge me that much that Warren Buffett or Bill Gates or Mike Bloomberg are so rich. They came from a different background, a different family. They have a different set of advantages or disadvantages. But when I look at my sister or my brother, who really had the same advantages and disadvantages as I did, and they're doing so much better than I am, it really is challenging to my esteem and identity.
They can feel particularly judged.
Exactly. Yeah. And H.L. Mencken a long time ago said that a rich man is somebody who makes $50 more than his wife's brother, or maybe it was his sister's husband, one of those. And we compare ourselves within our local social unit, if you will. And that's why sibling inequality hurts and really has consequences. For example, in families where there are greater disparities between siblings, there's less cohesion. They see each other less. They socialize with each other less. They rely on each other less. The less advantaged sibling tends to have the burden of, for example, elder care more than the more economically advantaged sibling and so forth.
And that's interesting because, as you point out in your research, they tend to be at home or nearer to the parent than the sibling that's successful. Of course, some would argue that didn't play out in their families. But you also, I want to delve back because you also said that within families, it's assumed that siblings have pretty much the same advantages. But you counter that with your own research. Talk about what you found, for instance, about the middle child.
In two-kid families, birth order doesn't really affect socioeconomic success. But in larger families, the kids that are in the middle, that are fighting the two-front war for parental attention and resources, tend to be the most disadvantaged. Of course, there's a million exceptions to all these things. These are averages at the population level.
Well, let's look at some of those averages. You say the chances that a second child will attend private school after the first did drop by 25% with the birth of a third. In other words, there are family resources that are taken into account when it comes to second and third children.
Exactly. So love is not a pie, my mother always used to tell me, but basically everything else that parents and family members have to offer children is a pie. You know, we can just deny that, but that's not going to change the reality that it's going to be harder to send your second or third kid to private school, even if you sent your first one to private school, once more kids are on the scene and more financial expenses appear.
And there are things like divorce that change a family's status. But how much did you find technology is impacting sibling disparity? I'm thinking 30 years ago, the child, maybe the oldest, who chose to continue the family manufacturing business might have been the one that was thought to be on the better track. But then another sibling who opted for a high-tech startup might have zoomed past them.
I think the role of technology in generating sibling inequality is basically the same as it is in generating inequality overall in society. A lot of economists hold technology as the main culprit for rising inequality in the United States and globally, for that matter, because folks who are able to take advantage of high-tech jobs, for example, coders and, of course, internet entrepreneurs, are just really raking it in. But people left out of that for their skill set or for whatever reason, luck, they are, you know, stuck in the middle or stuck, you know, with stagnant wages. And that's really what's a lot of what's driving inequality in the world. And that's in the family is no exception. A lot of sibling inequality has to do with different career paths like that.
Well, the New York Times talks about a family equally smart. One chose to be a teacher, an honorable profession. Another went into high tech and boom, there was the split. You said earlier that you've seen this rip families apart. We're thinking that it's not just that siblings maybe can't socialize if they don't have the same economic means, but then their cousins don't either. What else do you see?
One of the strongest patterns I saw was that when a new family forms, when you get married or live with somebody, cohabit, and let's say have your own kids, you tend to socialize with the family of the spouse to which you most resemble. What I mean by that is, let's say I am a professor and I marry somebody who's an attorney. Let's say our class backgrounds are very different. So that attorney came from, you know, a family of white shoe lawyers, and I came from a working class family. So I'm the sibling outlier in my case. Then we're going to be spending more Christmases and Thanksgivings with my spouse's family. We're going to spend more time with, you know, the extended family to which there's less sibling disparity.
Well, and just speaking of differences, you also point to race, that increasingly with adoptions and intermarriages, siblings have different racial experiences.
Exactly. So it doesn't have to be just, you know, cases of adoption or biracial families and, you know, blended families. Even with kids from the same two parents, there's a pigmentocracy, particularly within minority communities, where skin tone is an important predictor within families. So if you compare the lighter skin sibling with the darker skin sibling in a black family, for example, on average, the lighter skin sibling will be the more successful one economically.
Yeah. Look, in a recent Pew survey, October, 24% of respondents said the reason for the wealth gap is some people just work harder than others. But when it comes to siblings, after all your research, do you think that's true? I would say I don't. I think luck and the field you happen to pick is pretty important. What did the families tell you?
Well, I was expecting to find something like this mother's brother's routine. Mom always loved you best, and everyone blaming what the parents did for their own position or crediting it in the case of the more successful ones. But what I found surprised me, which was that everybody agreed. All the siblings, they might have disagreed about a lot of things, but they agreed about who was the black sheep and who was the golden child. And even the black sheep took it upon themselves. They internalized this narrative of in America that, you know, it's your own fault or it's hard work or you're homeless. They blamed themselves. They said, yeah, you know, I really got the short end of the stick from my parents, but I kind of deserved it because I was always pushing their buttons. I was always making trouble, you know, rather than seeing that these are bigger patterns that are kind of pressing in on the family.
Huh. Well, you leave us with that provocative thought. Dalton Conley, sociologist and professor at New York University. His book is The Pecking Order, A Bold New Look at How Family and Society Determine Who We Become. And from his perch, economic inequity between siblings has grown as inequity across the board has grown. Dalton, professor, thank you.
Thanks for having me, Robin.